You're listening to a Columbia Bible College audio message. Through the convenience of audio tape, you may now experience the ministry of CBC and Ben Lippin Conference and share exciting moments of Bible teaching, classroom study, and inspirational challenge. Wherever you go, CBC audio messages enable you personal study and meditation. They also provide stimulating material for group interaction. Permission to broadcast or to copy this tape in any form must be secured in writing from CBC Media Ministries.
Yesterday morning in our Bible and Missions Hour, we discovered five things that the disciples of Jesus had lost right in the midst of their Well, I can't pay the books. So you're going to write one of them. Where are you going to go for your source material? Well, you can go various places, but I hope you go to the gospel. And so you get your New Testament out, and you start to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and suddenly, if you've never realized it before, in a new way, you see, hey, how can I write a biography of the person, the life of Jesus Christ, when there's 30 years that are missing, that the Bible tells us almost nothing about? Which, by the way, as far as I'm concerned, is one of the greatest proofs of the inspiration of Scripture. The fact that 30 years are missing. No human author would have done that. And so they're not there. And yet, one-third of all four Gospels is devoted to the closing days of Christ's earthly life. His passion, his death, his resurrection, his last instructions to the church. That's where the majority of material lies, and those first 30 years aren't there. You know why? Because the Bible is talking about one thing. And the Holy Spirit is giving us again the four Gospels. Emphasize those things that have to do with the one thing and let the other detail it. You want to know what the one thing is that the Bible's talking about? The Bible is not talking about hundreds of different things. It's talking about one thing in hundreds of different ways. All right? And I want you to write down now the one thing the Bible's talking about. And it can be described with two words. Two words. Ready? First one is the word redemption. Redemption. Now I'm going to give you a definition of redemption. Redemption is God's work of bringing Christ to a world who needs him. Now you might want to hassle with me on that definition. You might say it's not theological enough, it doesn't have enough elements in it, but if you study it carefully, you'll see that basically it's all there. And that's the one thing the Bible's talking about. God's work of bringing Christ to a world who needs him. That's the message of the Old Testament. That's the message of the New Testament. That is the message of the Word of God, the one thing the Bible's talking about. Redemption starts all the way back at the beginning. And in the mind of God from eternity, that has been the one thing God is doing and longing to do. We've been hearing about it at night. Wait a minute. I grew up in Philadelphia. We were the only Gentile family on my block, and we still are. When we had an announcement over the loudspeaker in our high school, it would say something like this: there'll be a special assembly today. All the Jews will meet in the auditorium, and all the Gentiles will meet in the telephone booth on the second floor. That's about the way it was. I had many wonderful Jewish friends in high school, but I found out that they are no more lovable or spiritual than anybody else. And God had to remind them of that time and time again. I didn't choose you because of who you are. I chose you because of who I am. And what I want to do for you and through you to the whole world. God chose the nation of Israel so that through the nation of Israel he could bring Christ to the world around the nation of Israel. And that's the whole message of the Old Testament. And Satan knew it right from Genesis 3:15. We have a preview of all that's going to happen throughout the Old Testament. Satan seeking to stop God's plan of redemption and mission. I've written in my Bible next to Genesis 3:15 one little word with three letters. War. War! And let me tell you something this morning. If you get involved in God's plan for reaching the world, you can expect satanic opposition. I've had some Christians come to me and say, well, Satan never bothered you. That's because you never bothered him. You know how to bother the devil? Get involved in what God is doing in the world. And let God use you to bring Christ to the world. And that's what God did in the Old Testament. Chose Israel, but through Israel, he could bring Christ to the world. Isn't that the purpose of raising up that nation? He made of Abraham a great nation that through you, all the families of the earth might be blessed. Satan knew exactly what he was talking about. And so as we go through the Old Testament, we see that Satan is an anti-Semitic. He's anti-redemption, and that's why he tries to get rid of the Jews. And so, if you'll invite me back some year, when Major Thomas doesn't speak on Esther, I'll give you my series on principles of mission from the book of Esther. What a fantastic book. Where Satan almost succeeds, doesn't he, in wiping out that nation. Why? Because he doesn't like the Jews? No, but because he knows of God's great plan is that through that nation he'll bring Christ to the world, and through Christ he'll redeem men and women. He doesn't want that to happen. So again, right after the birth of the Lord Jesus, he cries again. As one Bible commentator said, when God's king came to earth, Satan's king was on the throne, and Herod the Great tried to thwart again God's program of redemption. That's the story of the Bible. Let me ask you, who is the you? God's work of bringing Christ to a world who needs him through you. Who's the you? Why did God choose the church? He chose the church so that through the church he might bring Christ to the world around the church. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. I will do it so that you can go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That's the one thing the Bible talks about. God chose you so that through you he could bring Christ to the world around you. Now, quickly, my time is almost up. Quickly. Somebody tell me, if that is the definition of missions, if that's what the Bible is talking about, God's work of bringing Christ to the world he needs to through you, and that's the one thing the Bible is talking about. Don't ever forget. Don't ever forget. And you better mind your life up and serve your back. And do what you do and serve your back, because that's what God is doing. And a wise man is a man who sees the direction in which God is going and goes with him. If that's true, what is the mission field according to that definition? Say it real loud. The world. Thank you. Somebody say to me this morning, if you're honest, the world. Asheville, North Carolina. Yeah. talk about all throughout this week. And that is a priority item all throughout Scripture. Missions and the mission field in the technical sense of the word. All right, now we're just about done. And I want you just to write down now the definition of the mission field in the technical sense of the word so that we see where we're going. The mission field in the general sense of the word is the world. But the mission field in the technical sense of the word is any area of the world where the majority of people live and die without having an opportunity of hearing the gospel clearly explained. And I insist that that difference be maintained in our thinking, in our praying, in our going, in our giving. That is the mission field in the technical sense of the word. That's what we're talking about specifically when we have a missionary conference in our church. That's what we mean when we talk about having a missionary come to speak. He went to the mission field, any area of the world where the majority of people live and die without having an opportunity of hearing the gospel clearly explained. And right now this morning, while we sit here enjoying the riches of Christ, 3,000 million people living in the world today are in that category. And a missionary, therefore, in the technical sense of the word, is a Christian who leaves the sphere of gospel influence and goes to those areas of the world where the majority of people live and die without having an opportunity of hearing the gospel clearly explained. That, by the way, does not relieve your responsibility either. Because we said every Christian is a missionary in the general sense of the word. That's true. That's true. Now I've got 2 minutes. I know what some of you are thinking. You know what you're thinking? Well, he's wrong. I'm not. Go, I can. Really? Don't forget that the person that wrote the most of the New Testament, and we've been having a fantastic time at night listening to what the Lord said to us through Luke, if you know he wrote more than Paul of the New Testament. Oh, yes, he did. Remember, he was a medical doctor for his life. Don't forget that. You study some of the missionaries of the New Testament and find out what they were before they went, how old they were before they went. Do you remember a woman back in the Old Testament by the name of Sarah? The Lord came to Sarah and he said, Sarah, I want to bring Christ to the world through you. That's basically what he told her. Because he said, you're going to have a son, and of that son, and he's going to have a son, and he's going to have sons, and they're going to have kids, and pretty soon there's going to be a nation, and through this nation, all families of the earth will be blessed. I want to use you to start with you, and I'm going to use you, Sarah, to bring Christ to the world. And Sarah says, what? Just what some of you are saying, isn't that right? Old, dried up here? Not me. She laughed. Now, she didn't laugh out loud, and you wouldn't either. If I came up to you and said, Christ wants to use you to make me, you said, yes, I do that too. Like Sarah did. See, she didn't laugh out loud. Of course we don't. We laugh in the tent. She was in the tent. She's back there. Oh, what's that guy say? He must be out of his mind. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? And Sarah said, I didn't laugh. That's just not exactly what some of you would say if I came up to you and said, you were laughing. Oh, no, I wasn't laughing. But you were. You were. But something happened between Genesis. When the Lord came in Genesis 18 and told Sarah that in Hebrews 11, verse 11, where it says, by faith, Sarah received great conceived seed after she was past the point of having. don't have a missions major, and yet so many young people go to the mission field. You know why? Because they study the Bible. And when you study the Bible, you go. Because that's the message of the Bible. Let's pray. God's work of bringing Christ to the world who is sin. Help us, Lord, not to include you in our plan, but to be included in your great plan of reaching the world. We thank you that it's your work, not ours. And I pray that you will help everyone here to be Sarah and with Mary to be able to say, I can. But he can't, but he wants to do it in Jesus' name.
You have been listening to a Columbia Bible College audio message. We trust it has been a blessing and that you will recommend the use of CBC audio messages to others. A complete listing of tapes is available upon request to CBC Media Ministries, Box 3122, Columbia, South Carolina.